prayer. Lord, we thank you that we could gather here tonight in your name. Lord, we just pray that you would just tune our hearts to hear from you. And we thank you for the praises we could just sing and just remind us of how good you are and how mighty and holy and wonderful and true to your people and to your name. And Lord, we are blessed people to be called by your name. And Lord, we just pray that you would just open our eyes and our hearts to be receptive to your word tonight, that we might become more like our Lord and our Savior, and that we might bring more glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm planning my preaching schedule for the days just ahead on Wednesday night, as well as for our time together on the Lord's Day. But from time to time, as you know, I like to shuffle things around for this reason or for that reason or for another reason or for no reason at all. And so I thought that we would do that tonight. As you can see in your bulletin, we've planned on doing, as I have gathered up from our current ongoing studies on Wednesday night, which will most likely end up being a kind of two-part message on a single behavior within our current series on the 25 behaviors of a Christian, or on living right before the Lord. And we'll launch it tonight, giving those of you who are normally not able to be with us because you're faithfully serving the Lord elsewhere, giving you an opportunity to be a part with the rest of us. To which some might say, wow, it must be really important behavior if you're going to do that tonight. And I would answer to that, yes, it is, but it really isn't any more or any less than the others that we have looked at. As may I just say this, all of these behaviors are valuable and vitally important, and they are ways given through, of course, the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Let's not forget that, concerning how we are truly, as the redeemed in Christ, to be living our lives through the energy of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Our wonderful comforter who has indwelt us, who now lives in us, and who actually causes us to perform these behaviors in our lives as we walk with him in accordance to his word. So, yes, as we walk and we live in the Spirit, submitting to the awesome word of grace, the word of truth, this is the production in our lives. As again, this is what Paul actually meant when he said, I'm reminded in Galatians 5:18, in speaking about the fruit of the Spirit that's right after it, he gives the listing of it, but he says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then, after he actually states the fruit of the Spirit, and he gives it in a list there in verses 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. He says this at the end of the verse, in verse 23. It's very important. He says, against such there is no law. You say, what did he mean by that? He meant when Christians walk by the Spirit and manifest this fruit, they need no external law to produce the attitudes and the behavior within them that comes out to please God. So they need no external law. So as we walk according to the fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. So we're walking according to the Spirit. Paul says this another way in Romans 6:14, I'm reminded. He says, for sin shall not have dominion or rule over you. And why doesn't it? And he answers it, for, or because, you are not under the law. There it is again. That is, we are not condemned by the law and by having to fulfill the demands of the law on our own. But he says, you are under what? You're under grace. You're under grace. And there it is, this Holy Spirit production. As we live, as we walk faithfully in the Spirit in accordance with the Word of God, and thus, as all these behaviors are given, let me remind you, they are given not as a list of things that we must muster up the strength and the energy and whatever else to do and to produce within ourselves in our own strength in order to please God, but as a bunch of divine commands that the Divine One, the Blessed Comforter, as we fully submit to Him and Him alone and to His Word, He will help us by His awesome, unmerited, and undeserving favor and His gracious strength to perform for the glory of God as one who is truly in Christ. As in this day of grace, God doesn't command, and I often think of this, and it was a quote from Augustine a long time ago, God doesn't command anything of us that He hasn't first given us the ability and the resources to do and to perform. Just let that sink in for a moment. Isn't that wonderful? As far as the Christian life? Do you remember the little illustration of that we gave in these behaviors that I told at the beginning of our series, those of you who are here when we launched it off, where rather than looking at the Christian life as a huge list of behaviors, of to-dos and don'ts and all of that, this list of 25 things, or we could go over to some other list of however many things that are listed in the Scripture. But rather than looking at that we are to carry out and keep track of and remember and mark down and it's our duty and our own strength to perform and do, and in order that we might please the Lord, but rather than that, God has given us the box top. He's given us the finished picture of what I would constitute as a puzzle with these lists. And is saying to us as He gives us these lists, these are the pieces that I will be assisting you and working in you to fit together as you submit to me, to my word, to my truth, so that the picture on the top of Christ will come out to and for my glory. Now, with that said, going back to it, we come tonight to behavior number 6 in our so-called list, but who's counting, right? And we even inserted with the last one at the end of verse 10, which is, you'll notice, in honor, preferring one another, an extra, which you'll remember was not preferring one before the other, and that we found in 1 Timothy 5:21, so that would make number 7. All right, and by the time we're all done, it would not be 25 behaviors of a Christian, but 26, and it would just mess up the whole title of this series. So, again, whether 25 or 26 behaviors doesn't matter, as God will help us as we submit to Him and to His Word to see that all these things are produced in the life of a believer for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, in light of the behavior trait of a believer that I want to look at tonight from Romans 12, I heard a cute little story about a group of senior citizens who were lounging on the patio of their retirement community when one of them happened to look up to see a large flock of birds fly overhead. And immediately the man nudged his friend, who had dozed off, and he said, "Frank, you better move around a little bit. Those look like buzzards closing in on us." Hey, I am afraid when it comes to the work of the Lord and the things of God and committing ourselves as believers to carrying out that or these things with all diligence, that we sometimes appear like old Frank did. Just sort of lazing around, sort of lagging behind. And if we aren't careful, the old buzzard may just come along and conclude us as dead and useless. So please join me tonight, if you're not there, in the 11th verse of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. The first part of verse 11, as many of you are aware of, as we come to this sixth or seventh behavior of a Christian, of a believer who is living supernaturally by the Spirit of God, this certain behavior, along with the last two we examined in verse 10 there, make up our duty in relationship to the family of God. The family of God. In other words, let me just read it. We have a duty to our brothers and our sisters in Christ, to the called out ones around us, to not be slothful, look at it, not be slothful in business. At least that's how it reads in the King James translation. It may read differently in the NASB, and we'll get to that in a moment. Let's examine for a moment, though, a few moments, what exactly Paul is conveying, as I'm sure we can pick up on the gist, but let's get into the nitty-gritty, as they say. The phrase slothful, we'll handle that first, and it's an adjective, and it describes qualities or an entity of us as Christians, is from the Greek word okaneras, which means to feel loath, to be slow. The root verb from which it comes, okaneo, has the idea of delay, or to hesitate, or to be lazy, or lagging, which is why the NASB translates it not slothful, but as not lagging behind. Now, I'm sure we've all met lazy people before who at times and in certain situations have driven us, in a manner of speaking, sort of crazy. I can think of some of the grown men that I had working for me in my lawn business years ago while I was in Bible college, while studying for the ministry. Of course, as crazy as a few of them may have driven me at that time, I can say with all honesty that I've, at times and at some points in my life, I have slipped into the lazy mode myself. And perhaps I've driven others, quote unquote, crazy. We probably all had our moments, if we will admit it, as it's human nature to be lazy. It's our human tendency. And so this is primarily what this adjective, okaneras, here in verse 11 describes. This is what it means. The definition that particularly struck out to me is to feel loath. Did you ever feel loath before? For whatever reason? Webster defines loath, let me just put it this way, a couple of ways. One way, which we're normally familiar of with the term, in terms of disgust or abhorrence or hatred. For instance, like when Israel loathed that manna from heaven. Let me just say, that's not the kind of loath that we are speaking of here. But the second way that Webster defines it is in terms of what the Bible is talking about, an unwillingness or a reluctance to do something or perhaps anything. Sort of an I don't care what happens around me or even to me or to anyone else kind of mindset, but I'll just sit around and I'll let life pass me by. Reluctance, total unwillingness to move or to be useful or to put forth any kind of effort. Have you ever felt or been just a tinge that way before? Now, going back to Romans 12:11, Paul, of course, puts a negative, nay, in the Greek, in front of the adjective slothful, telling us what? That we are not to be slothful. We are not to be loath. We are not to be lazy. We are not to be lagging or hesitant or reluctant or unwilling. This is what we in Christian behavior, if we're walking by the Spirit, we are not to be. So that's the first part of the behavior as it appears here to us. Now, the second half of the behavior really tells us what we ought to be character-wise or quality-wise, as it uses another adjective, two adjectives right in a row. Whereas the first part told us what quality we ought not be a part of in our lives, not slothful. The second part tells what quality and character trait is to be a part of our being and of our lives. So the question is, as we look at the second part, what does in business, as the King James translates it, what does it mean? As we have here what's called an adjective, and this is interesting when you're studying the language, in the dative case, which is why the word in actually appears in our English version. You might initially get the impression that the word business is a noun, that it's a person, a place, or a thing, right? That's what we learn nouns are. And that it's speaking of not being slothful or lazy in some specific realm of our lives, such as the workplace or such as your job, or that business simply describes all matters of life. But I want you to remember, this phrase here, in business, is not a noun describing a person, place, or thing, but rather what we have here in this word business is an adjective describing a character trait or a further description or quality of a person, place, or thing, if you will. It's the Greek word spode. And it's actually placed here as an opposite to the one that came before it, onerkas, which was the word for slothful. So it's a totally opposite thing. The word spode means what as far as quality? It's speaking of the quality of, are you ready? And your translation has it in the NESB, of diligence. Earnest desire or effort or haste that we as believers are to possess. In the basic meaning of the verb form, it means to hasten, it means to press, it means to speed. And not in terms of getting a speeding ticket, okay? But in terms of not dragging behind in ambition or in effort, but clipping right along. Another way to describe it is by the word zeal or an earnestness in accomplishing and promoting and striving after anything. This is a quality rather than laziness and lagging behind and slothfulness that we are to possess, that we are to have as true spirit-walking believers in Jesus Christ, spirit-led and fed. Now, I don't want to get too technical about this, but sometimes some technicality helps in giving us a better understanding of what's being said. But as I mentioned already, this adjective is in the dative case. And that's why the little preposition in the English appears here before the word, as it says in business, or better rendered, in diligence. And what you discover is that not only is it in the dative case, but it seems to be in a certain dative case, as there are a few certain kinds of dative cases, such as dative of means, there's a dative of time, and there's a dative of respect. This here in verse 11 is called the dative of respect. You say, what's that? This is where the adjective here in this case, business or diligence, basically indicates the respect in which anything exists or is true. In other words, it might literally be rendered not slothful, not lagging behind, in respect to diligence. Or to put it another way, do not let slothfulness in any way, shape, or form creep into the quality and the character that you are to have as a Christian, or being diligent of living your life with an earnest desire unto the Lord. Do not lag or become lazy in respect to your diligence. This is a behavior. Understand that Christ wants us to own, to take. We already have it. We already possess it. It's an aspect of diligence. It's an aspect of zeal. It's an aspect of earnest desire for Him that He puts within us. For what? For the promotion of His coming kingdom and His glory. Not letting or allowing any slowness or feeling of loath or unwillingness or reluctance to creep in respect to the matter of diligence to and for the work of the Lord. A few verses earlier, which is in what I call the gifts section of Romans chapter 12, but look up in verse 8 with me. Paul used this same word, spode, as he declared how a Christian who has the gift of ruling and leading should exercise it with diligence. Do you see it? It's the same exact word up there that's here in verse 11, translated in business. And of course, we understand that as Paul speaks of diligence on or earnest desire or striving toward, that we are speaking in terms of living for Christ, glorifying God, conducting our lives in the realm of godliness and godly things, and living in respect to the Lord's service. At least I hope we understand that. This is what it's saying. Because frankly, you know what? We can be diligent in the wrong things. Think about that. Can't we? I mean, we can have an earnest desire in the sinful things or in the thing that is not expedient for us in our walk with the Lord or in promotion of Christ's kingdom and Christ's work to the glory of God. And I'm going to show you this. I think of what Paul said two times. Once over in 1 Corinthians 6:12, and another time over in 1 Corinthians 10:23. First, let me look at 1 Corinthians 6:12. He says this, and you're familiar with it, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then go over to chapter 10 and verse 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but, and here it is, all things edify not. So Paul is saying there may be something in our life that is quite lawful for me as a believer to do or to commit to doing, but it's not really useful. It's not really helpful to me or anyone else, really, even though in itself it's not sinful, it's not wrong. I'm afraid we as believers at times we get caught up in being diligent in things that are quite lawful for a believer, but they aren't helpful. They really aren't useful in the matter of godliness or in the promotion of God's kingdom or in the edification of another brother or sister in the Lord. And of course, his admonition in 1 Corinthians 6:12 was that we would not be brought under the power of any of those kinds of things. In other words, it may be very diligent, it may be very zealous, and I may be very zealous of my golf game or my golf outings. And I'm not picking on anybody with this, okay? Or in my interest in baseball or whatever else, or basketball or soccer or whatever else. It doesn't matter. And those things aren't necessarily bad. They aren't necessarily sinful to me. But is that where my diligence really belongs, first and foremost? Have I been brought under the power of something and been diligent to something that isn't God's best? Or even God's desires for me. So I trust we understand that Paul is speaking of not being slothful in respect to diligence that we have in and for the Lord's service or the Lord's work, which can spread into all avenues of our living, such as what kind of employee I am at work, what kind of mother or father I am at home, what kind of neighbor I am to my family and friends that are around me, what kind of husband or wife that I am to my spouse, what kind of witness do I have with the unsaved world. This, understand, is all the Lord's work. Is it not? I mean, sometimes I think we compartmentalize our lives and we seek too hard to sort of separate the so-called secular from what we would call the spiritual. The Lord's service, the Lord's work, isn't just inside the doors of this church on Wednesday night. For instance, as we work in Awana, or we serve, or on Sunday as we do special music. And these are the only, as if these are the only things exclusively that I am to worry about or that I am to be diligent in. I mean, yes, they are important, even most menial tasks. But in every part of my Christian living, Paul is saying here, the inspired word is saying here, do not be slothful in respect to your diligence, to your zeal to glorify your Lord. Don't lag behind. Serve the Lord. Please the Lord. Don't slack off in any way in this department of your diligence. Go over for a moment. We don't often look in this book, but Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, this verse often comes to my mind. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Wow. So, if your hand finds to do something good, do it. And not only do it, but do it with all diligence. Do it with all your power. Do it with all your might that's within you, that you possess from the Spirit of God. Perform it. Do it with all diligence. Because once you're dead, there's no more opportunity, is there? reminds me of the song, what we've done in this life, only one life to offer is all there is. It almost sounded to me as I studied it from Romans 12:11, going back to Romans 12:11 here, that Paul is assuming, I don't know if it sounded that way to you, but he's assuming that each blood-bought believer already has some measure or level of diligence for the Lord in his or her life. And that we aren't to let slothfulness or slowness creep in and weaken it or hinder it in any way. And I believe this can also be substantiated with other scriptures indirectly. I think of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Listen to this. Which God foreordained that we would walk in them. He foreordained it before the world was, that we would walk in those good works. Actually, in the text, these are the good works that he planned for you. 2 Peter 1:3 indicates this as well. We've been given, it says, divine power unto all things that pertain to life and to godliness. That's what we possess. That we should what? We should walk in the ways of glory and virtue for the Lord. If you want, as Christians, we all have a measure of, I call it, irresistible diligence to the things of God and to his desires within, if you're truly saved. In other words, every true blood-bought believer should have a measure of or a degree of diligence, earnest desire for the Lord, the things of the Lord, the work of the Lord that are just ready to burst forth, shouldn't they? If there's not a shred of diligence, earnest desire that's there presently, then it may be in order to ask, am I really the Lord's? I mean, if I don't love righteousness and hate wickedness and sin, if I have no desire to study God's word, I have no desire for prayer, I have no desire to understand God's truth, I have no desire to fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord, I don't find any joy in that at all. Loved ones, whatever we do in the Lord's service, it is worth doing with great enthusiasm, with great care, and actually it's speaking here in the word spode of urgency, of hastiness, of perpetualness. Don't ever let slowness or laziness, or apathy, or lagging behind creep in to the mix. Again, going back to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Do it. Jesus told his disciples over in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 9, in verse 4, and this always sticks in my mind, he says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's even a hymn that's written after it. I think it's 548 in the Living Hymnal. The Lord knew that his time of ministry was limited, and that every moment in his Father's service on earth should count for the most possible benefit of his Father's kingdom and his Father's glory. Paul admonished the believer in the Galatian churches, as it was a circular letter, in Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, what did he say? Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And he's speaking in terms of the matter of our diligence unto the Lord and for the things of the Lord. Take every opportunity, he's saying, that you can right now to do good to all, especially your brothers and your sisters in Jesus Christ. Over in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, he said to the brethren, he says, be not weary in well-doing. And well-doing there is interesting. It's in the present tense. And it has the idea of continual ongoing actions of good and godliness. In other words, diligence in the Lord's service. And Paul tells them and us not to become spiritless or faint or exhausted in not just body, but in spirit, in mind, in heart, in respect to what? Our diligence unto the Lord. That's what he's saying. Keep at it for the Lord. Why? He rewards those. One of the reasons, not only out of love for him, but he rewards those who are diligent in his service, in the things of him. And those who have done whatever they have done with all their hearts, with the right motive of heart for the Lord. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. The Bible has a lot to say about this particular virtue or fruit that the Spirit of God has given us resource of, and we need to walk in the Spirit in order to tap it. 3:23, beginning 3:23 and verse 24, he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall what? You shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And then he says this at the end, for you serve the Lord Christ. And I looked up the word serve there. It's the word doulas. You know what doulas means, right? It means a slave. You're a slave. I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Present tense. Submitting, obeying, serving, slaving if you want, yielding obedience, yielding oneself up unto my blessed Lord. And the Lord rewards you for being that kind of slave. Colossians is a wonderful book. Ephesians is a sister epistle to it. But go with me just to a few verses before this, to verse 17 of chapter 3 here. Notice, he says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, or in the character of, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Serve the Lord. He says it again right off when he starts the book. Look in 1:10 of Colossians here. 1:10, he says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's one of the reasons for your diligence even being here tonight, I hope, to increase in the knowledge of God so that you might be more diligent for the Savior who you love for his glory. And God rewards you for it. You remember the parable of the talent that Jesus told of in this Olivet Discourse of Matthew 25. Go over to Matthew 25 for a moment. Matthew 25, and this is the last text that we'll actually look at here. I don't want to give you all the text. That's saved for part two, because there's so much that God has to say about all of this. But this is very applicable to all of us, even though it's a kingdom parable. And verse 14 here, beginning Matthew 25. Let me just read verse 14 through verse 30 to you. Jesus tells this parable, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that received 1 went, digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Verse 20. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou wast a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went, and I hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered, said unto him, Thou wicked and," what? "Slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow. Now, there are so many areas that we could cover with that story, but much of that story has to do with or on the matter of slothfulness or diligence. And what kind of slave servant we are. And in the end, which servant the Lord abundantly rewards, which of course is the one who's been diligent, the one who's been enthusiastic, who's been zealous and careful for him in regard to his master's affairs. It's a marvelous parable that we could get into. But it's time to conclude. And we're done for now, waiting more for Wednesday, as we'll pick it back up this Wednesday night, Lord willing. So I want you to hang on to what we have looked at. Don't lag behind, but do whatever you do with diligence for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who you love. Let's pray together. Father, Thank you for your blessed word, your blessed truth. Thank you for giving to us through the inspiration of the Spirit of God this behavior that makes us like our Lord and our Savior. It fits the pieces together so that we might be more conformed unto his image. And Lord, we pray that we would take up the admonition as we have the glorious resource within us to accomplish exactly what you have put in us, to be diligent, to be earnest, to be serving you, to not be lagging behind in any matter of our life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, just help us to take these admonitions to heart tonight and live them out in our lives as we move forward for the glory of Jesus Christ. Make us more like your Son, we pray, in the matter of our diligent, faithful service for you in all areas of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.